Before the end, believers will draw strength from their relationship to God and shall be given the words they need to testify and to endure without fear. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When some were speaking in the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another, and all will be thrown down." They asked him, "Teacher, when will this be, and what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And he said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and the time is near. Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for these things must take place first, but the end will not follow immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and plagues, and there will be dreadful portents and great signs from the heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or to contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, by relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name. But not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth, meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. Grace and peace to you from our words and our wisdom, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I have never been one for debates. I'm not talking about political debates, while I'm not a big fan of those either. I'm talking about an intense discussion, a back and forth, if you will, arguing a point. If my high school would have had a debate team growing up, I would not have joined it. I don't do well in arguments, and I've never been quick-witted enough to fire back a joke or an insult, depending on what the situation was. Being picked on as a kid, I hated the latter, to be honest, as the moment almost always passed before I thought of a comeback. Now, at times, I did actually see this as a gift because I didn't stoop to their level. But I still never felt good. Not to mention, it also caused me not to stand up for myself. Embedded in our gospel lesson today, this alarming apocalyptic text, are a couple of promises. Promises that in the midst of chaos, there is hope. More on these in a minute. First, let's set the scene. Apocalyptic writing is without a doubt a popular genre in today's world. This, in fact, is likely one of the rare Sundays where Christian churches across the U.S. will be hearing a message from similar texts. Mainlines like us who follow the Revised Common Lectionary, that set lectionary we follow each and every Sunday, as well as our fundamental-oriented siblings who find themselves entranced by these types of writings quite frequently. But what function does apocalyptic writing in the Bible serve? What are texts that image the end of the world saying? that is other than what's portrayed by series like Left Behind? Does a film that grossed $19.6 million worldwide really speak to what's going on here in Luke's passage as well as others? Now, I'm not going to string you along in this thought. I'm just going to be blunt and say the answer is no. No, it's not. They tell a very different stories despite being pulled from a similar narrative. So what do we need to know then about apocalyptic literature? First, the word apocalyptic. It comes from the Greek word for revelation or something being torn aside. It's usually written during a time of crisis in order to help its original audience make sense of a very difficult experience or experiences. In the case of our Luke text this morning, the crisis is the aftermath of the Roman destruction of the temple, an event that transformed both Judaism and early Christianity. Second, we need to keep in mind that apocalyptic writing presumes that there are always two layers of reality, the material and the spiritual. More so, these two realities are linked. As our material and physical existence mirrors the larger reality of the heavens in an ongoing conflict between good and evil. Lastly, these texts, more times than not, are more of a general state of affairs than a specific incidence. There is a focus on eschatology, yes, the end of times. However, it's about the end of the world as we now experience it. It's no coincidence that apocalyptic writing was written and intended for those on the margins. Luke, having written the third gospel after the annihilation of Jerusalem, is speaking to a people crushed in spirit and literally crushed by Rome. Can you see how this might help people who are struggling to make sense of their lives in a chaotic, confusing, and painful situation? By linking their experience to a more enduring and significant reality, early readers of this kind of writing were able to fit their immediate struggles into a larger picture that promises, in the end, all will be well. Even though Jesus tries to draw these hearers and our attention elsewhere today, the world continually sucks us into a graphic and descriptive end of the world that Jesus himself tells us, do not fear. Yes, in the midst of chaos, of natural disasters, great wars, betrayal, imprisonment, and rejection, Jesus says, not a hair on your head will perish. Now we know this not to be literally true. In our own experience in the biblical narrative, we look to Luke's second volume, the book of Acts, and the apostles, his followers, while believers testified and remained faithful to Christ, they were all killed. Jesus' promise is a big picture message of hope. If we take this promise of an eternal head of hairs with verse 19, by your endurance you will gain your souls, one could surmise that the hair of your head is symbolic of your soul. That's even if you don't have a lot of hair up top. You are likely to lose your body, yes, but no one thing can ever take that away, or take away your soul. Take away your faith. Take away yourself. Faith is a gift from God that is infused within our beings, within your being. No power can take that away. So Jesus calls for faithfulness and action instead of fretting about the details. For an action value is in the effort itself, not in the outcome. Value is in the effort itself, not in the outcome. There are plenty of opportunities to testify. It may not be the literal end of the world as we know it, but it might feel very much like it for someone we know or run into, or maybe even ourselves. Killing, in the light of a faith perspective, goes far beyond the actual act of murder. Killing, people's lives and spirits are destroyed, and the recipients of acts of bullying, hate, and exclusion. This is killing too. And so Jesus reminds us, you will be given an opportunity to testify. Given an opportunity. Jesus calls us to live lives different from the values of this world. Simply put, the motto comes to mind, the survival of the fittest. It's like how politicians use texts like our epistle lesson from 2 Thessalonians to justify cutting aid for those who need it most. Jesus isn't drawing our attention to a severe alert status on the state of our souls and the end of the time. Jesus is speaking to a relevant truth of the intersection of our material and spiritual lives. As I mentioned previously, in the ancient world, apocalyptic language generally appealed to those on the margins of society. Those lies disrupted by the empire's mechanisms of destruction and oppression. That chaos doesn't and won't last forever. Jesus will provide words of wisdom that no one can withstand or contradict. Jesus will do the same within you. Jesus enters into our lives through the witness of the faithful to remind that despite what is going on around us, even if you feel the walls toppling down on top of you, Jesus says, do not fear. Don't worry about the chaos or what appears to be the end. I've got you, and I will see you through this. You see, Jesus doesn't make a promise here to make it all go away. We know that Jerusalem, the city Jesus wept over, which centered around the temple, believed to be God's very own presence here on earth, all of it was totally and utterly annihilated. Not one stone left upon another. So as loved ones in our lives around us receive terrifying medical diagnoses and look death straight in the face, as churches continue to shrink and close, their buildings disintegrating into the landscape, we are given opportunity to testify to the one who overcame death and the grave. Jesus himself promises to give us that proclamation testimony in the chaos, to speak truth when all hope is lost. There is no need to prepare a compelling speech or a rebuttal. Jesus gives those words. No news media talking head, self-help book author, politician, or self-proclaimed prophet or messiah can provide that narrative. In fact, brothers and sisters, these will likely be the ones you are called to testify before and against. In the book of Acts, Stephen, the first deacon, astounded hearers. He was uncontested in his witness to Jesus the Christ. He was also to go on to be the first martyr of the church. following and being a disciple of Jesus isn't mighty erected lives adorned with beauty, even if it is dedicated to God. A life following Jesus looks more like imprisonment, rejection, crucifixion. It's a call to a life of faithfulness in the one who was faithful unto death for you and for me. It's a call where the value is in the effort itself, not in the outcome. In this Luke passage, Jesus first wants his listeners to know that all is not as bad as it appears. Therefore, we shouldn't be too quick to follow preachers of doom and gloom. Second, Luke wants us to hear Jesus' promise that when struggles do come, they are opportunities for witness, and that Jesus himself will help find words to give testimony to the faith. Things are not as bad as they look. The challenges coming your way are opportunities, and Jesus will help you make the most of them. The gospel, brothers and sisters, the gospel is a proclamation that God's faithful love remains with us even when everything around us is falling apart. The gospel is a proclamation that God's faithful love remains with us even when everything around us is falling apart. Jesus promises to give us words for that proclamation. And even if you feel tongue-tied, you aren't quick-witted, or you just don't like debating, Jesus will give you words of hope when and where it is needed most. And no matter what happens as a result of your efforts, your faithfulness will continue to spread the promise of hope in Jesus Christ. Then, in the end, the Son of Righteousness will rise with his healing wings, and your souls will not perish. Amen.